Our first Bible reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9a. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? Our second reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today, for Palm Sunday, we are continuing on with our series looking at Jesus revealed, called to reveal. And this morning's Bible reading starts off with a familiar celebration of Jesus being heralded as the promised king in the line of David, the Messiah. We see people taking off their cloaks and laying them on the ground in front of Jesus, riding on a donkey. And we see people going to the nearby fields and cutting off branches to place them on the ground too as Jesus rides the donkey. They shout out cheers, which probably made the atmosphere sound something like a sporting event. Cheers such as, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And Hosanna in the highest." What a sight! What a commotion! What excitement. You can taste it in the air. Here is the promised King. Salvation and deliverance has come at last. On this day, Jesus is properly recognized by many of the Jewish people as their King. But what is just going on here? How do they recognize Jesus as their promised King? Well, God made a covenant with King David, and we hear this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 to 16. In it, God promises that David's son will succeed him as the king of Israel, and that his son Solomon would build the temple for God, not David himself. This promise is seen in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13, where God says, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name." But then the promise continues and expands. "I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and your house and your kingdom will endure before me. Your throne will be established forever." Look again at the promise that David's son Solomon would be blessed and build the temple turns into something different. The promise of an everlasting kingdom. Another son of David would rule forever and build a lasting house. This is a reference to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, called the Son of David. And this covenant which God makes with David can be summarized in four words. House. Promising a dynasty in the lineage of David. Kingdom. Referring to our people who are governed by a king. Throne. Emphasizing the authority of the king's rule and forever. Emphasizing the eternal and unconditional nature of this promise to David and Israel. So the Israelite people were holding on to this promise, and believed that Jesus would be a king like David. But this time, the kingdom will last forever. Just listen to these words again. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Clearly they are expecting Jesus as David's descendant to re-establish the kingdom of King David. And what they are proclaiming and desiring is for Jesus as the Messiah to be a king like David. The thing is, when God saved Israel from Egypt and turned them into a nation, eventually living in the promised land, something puzzled me, because God actually never intended for Israel to have a king, a human king. He never originally intended for there to ever be a King David. And to miss this point is to miss what the Jews missed about Jesus riding into Jerusalem as their king. God set up Israel as a collective of 12 tribes, each of whom inherited a portion of the promised land. They would be ruled by God alone as their king, and overseen by the elders of the tribes, the prophets of God and the priests. Israel would have no king but God. When necessary, God would raise up a leader called a judge who would lead Israel into battle against enemy forces. This was God's preference for how Israel was to be a nation. But Israel wanted a king to be like the other nations. It was them who petitioned God to establish a monarchy. God warned against it. God did not want Israel to be the monarchy. But Israel rejected God as their king and insisted on having a human king. Now, for those who have been with us for a few years, you would remember a series called The Story. It set out the idea of there being an upper story and a lower story. The upper story is God's unchangeable plan. God is going to do certain things at certain times to achieve certain outcomes. But the lower story is where God's plan interacts with people and the decisions they make. In this case, God sending Jesus as the Messiah is part of God's upper story. There is nothing that could have ever stopped this from happening. But the people, the Israelite people, rejecting God as their king and wanting a human king is part of the lower story. And so God incorporates the choice of people into his plan. And not understanding this has in the past caused me some confusion. Because let's run through this. The Messiah being a king is part of God's upper story plan. God always planned on Jesus becoming the king of Israel. But God never wanted there to be a king of Israel, a human king of Israel. The Messiah being a king, though, it seems to be dependent on God establishing a monarchy in Israel, which then results in David becoming the king of Israel and God making his covenant with David. Why would God require his upper story plan to be dependent on people rejecting what God affirms as his preferred lower story plan? Of course, God can always seamlessly incorporate human decisions which we make into his lower story. And he can have good things come out of this, even though they aren't God's preferred lower story plan for our lives. But it seems to me more like God needed Israel to reject his plans for them, so that he could set up Jesus as a king in the line of King David. In thinking this, I realize that I have made the same mistake as the Israelites, celebrating Jesus first and foremost as the promised king and son of David. I thought being a king in the line of David was an essential part of God's upper story plan for Jesus, but it's not. The coming of the Messiah isn't so much about establishing the kingdom of God through a descendant of David, although God does incorporate this into the plan. It's actually about God in human form being properly established as Israel's king, as well as the king of all the universe forever, which actually restores God's original plans for Israel, that Yahweh alone be Israel's king. When the Israelites celebrate Jesus as the Messiah, they are celebrating that the promised descendant of King David has come, through whom God will establish his everlasting kingdom in Israel, and his reign will reach over all the earth. Although this is what Jesus is doing, it's not really about this. Rather, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is all about God, Yahweh, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem as their king to establish a new and different type of kingdom of God. See how these two perspectives give you two very different ways of seeing Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Although the Jewish people cheering on Jesus are saying the right things, they all have an incorrect image in their mind as to what these words actually mean. And they haven't fully put together the prophecies about the Messiah. You could blame them. They don't seem to match up. And in fact, did you know that it was a reasonably well-established theory of Jewish scholars of Jesus' day to believe that there would be two or more Messiahs? Because how could one Messiah account for all the different things that were supposed to happen to the Messiah and all the different things the Messiah would accomplish? Like a lateral thinking problem that I used to give my students to the teacher as a fun activity. I would give them a particular type of problem to solve. Something like this. There are two people dead in a cabin in the woods. They didn't die of old age or illness, nor did they kill themselves or each other. There are no tracks in or out of the cabin. How did they die? Now, what I did in that is create an incorrect image in your mind of what this scene is. And unless you can let go of this image, you will never work it out. I'm not going to tell you the answer. Excellent. I can't possibly use that. Against my constitution. But just like this, the Jews had an incorrect image, even though their words were accurate. They hadn't understood what the coming of the Messiah was really about. It was about the God of Israel coming as king to establish a new kingdom of God, which would be open to anyone through faith in the king. Now, the people had seen the signs and the miracles and heard the teachings of Jesus, and they matched Jesus' words and actions to those recorded in the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. And they had come to the conclusion that this must be the promised Messiah attested to in the Scriptures. And of course, they were right. They had properly interpreted some of the Scriptures enough to identify Jesus. But they couldn't properly interpret all the Scriptures about the Messiah because their image of who the Messiah was and what he was coming to establish was incorrect. So Jesus is the Messiah attested to and promised by God throughout the Old Testament. Jesus fulfills all the words spoken about who the Messiah would be and what the Messiah would do, including being willing to be rejected, beaten, and mistreated for obeying God and not turning away from his plans, just like the reading we heard in Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 9. They missed the most important thing about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt to follow the donkey. This is Israel's God. This is Israel's God riding into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of the donkey. This is Israel's God coming in peace to establish a new everlasting kingdom of God, not the old kingdom of David. And riding on a donkey was to symbolize that the way that God would achieve this was not with military might and with force coercion, but with an invitation and with humility. And as we look back in hindsight on the life of Jesus, this is what God revealed to humanity about him. God has indeed revealed that Jesus is the Messiah or the anointed one, the one prophesied about in the Scriptures. But this Messiah is revealed by God to be more than an earthly descendant of the King of David. He is Yahweh, come to bring peace between God and humanity, an invitation for any person to be part of his kingdom on this earth and also for all eternity. So how do we reveal this then to people, to those around us? Well, there are a number of ways open to us. Jesus was God coming to humanity to offer them that invitation, so of a different way of being a kingdom, and we are a part of that kingdom. So first, I think we need to be trying to live out our lives according to the principles of the kingdom of heaven, to godly principles, rather than just being a usual person who lives a life according to worldly principles. This allows people to see us as a community, see us as individuals, and a way up, which way they prefer to live in, which kingdom, the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God. It also gives people who would be attracted to living according to godly principles the opportunity to see them, and then obviously the best opportunity of then accepting them. We have to acknowledge that not every person will accept the ways of God, even if they are clearly shown. Of course, we don't always do it in a good job at that. When it comes to explaining to people why we can know that Jesus is the Son of God, knowing that Jesus didn't arrive out of nowhere can help. Jesus doesn't come and say, "Hey, everyone, I'm the Son of God, just trust me. Follow me." But God knows that anyone could say that. God put in place all manner of ways to tell who the Messiah is. Jesus had to fulfill hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah, and he had not failed to fulfill any one of the prophecies about the Messiah. These included things relating to his birth, his character, his ministry, where things would happen, and when they would happen. Even the specific forms of teach of torture he would have to endure. We take our reading from Isaiah 15, verse 4 to 9. There are many things Jesus had to fulfill in this one passage alone. A ministry where the weary are upheld. Is that what we see in Jesus' ministry? A ministry where God's will is perfectly done. A ministry where he speaks as one with deep wisdom of one who listens to God, to the Father and his teaching. A ministry where he is willing to have his back beaten, his beard pulled out, to be mocked in his face and spat on. All things that happen to Jesus. Now, depending on the person you're sharing with, maybe there's another option that's more appropriate for you. Sharing how this wonderful kingdom is different to any kingdom ever before and ever after. It's not established through military force, but just through love and invitation. An invitation to live by the principles that Jesus lived out in his life. And so if you want to know if you want to be a part of this kingdom, just look at Jesus and his teaching, including him coming gently and humbly riding on a donkey. An animal of peace, not war. We can also tell people how Jesus invites us to taste and see that he is real and that he is good. We believe that God, Jesus, is the living God. So God has revealed that Jesus is the Messiah. And this means far more than being a king in the line of David. Jesus coming as the Messiah is about God becoming a man in order to establish a new kingdom of God, which anyone and everyone is invited to join. A kingdom which reaches beyond the kingdom of Israel, and a kingdom which reaches out beyond the time of this world. A kingdom founded on the love, humility, gentleness, and graciousness of God as shown to Jesus coming to his kingdom. Humble, pencil and write on a top the bowl of the donkey. Amen.